Good morning. We're glad to see everyone here this morning. We have many visitors. We're so glad that you are here. And friend, we hope and pray that any time you have the opportunity that you will be here with us as we worship our Father in heaven. Today is known as Easter to many across the world. It is a day celebrated as a day that Christ rose from the dead. And quite frankly, and in most cases quite sadly, today is a day that many that hardly ever consider giving time to God any other time will darken the door of a church building. Many times there are folks that will come on Easter, will go on Christmas, that other times won't give time to God. Friends, if you happen to be one of those people this morning, let's think about this for a moment together as we study this morning and see why maybe we ought to take more time, as our theme is this year, to be holy. To give more time to our God. And friends, it has everything to do with that Jesus rose from the dead. Now friend, just a couple of things before we go any further I want us to point out here as far as Easter Sunday is concerned. Turn with me, if you will, for a moment to Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. In the King James Version of the Bible, this is the only time that the word Easter is found. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, we read, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Now friends, the word here translated as Easter is the Greek word Pascha. In our English letters, that would be P-A-S-C-H-A, Pascha. Literally, it means Passover. Now friends, the King James Version of the Bible has been around since 1611, and folks have, and they have yet to put the right word in there. This word ought to be Passover. That's what it ought to read. We ought to read it, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people." Now friends, let me also say this. This is something that we ought to all be mindful of as we think of Easter, as we think of Jesus rising again from the dead. Let me ask you this, my friend. Why do we gather together to worship on Sunday anyway? Why upon the first day of the week? Why do we gather as we have this morning and every other first day of the week? Friends, consider these things. There's actually more to it than just because that's the example we have recorded in Scripture. It has to do with Jesus Christ rising from the dead upon the first day of the week. That's why we meet on every Sunday. And in that way, friends, as we read our Bibles and we study it, the reason the saints meet together every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Because Jesus rose from the dead. How thankful ought we to be for that resurrection? How thankful ought we to be that there is a resurrection? And friends, when we gather together, not only today, but every first day of the week, we should absolutely indeed remember the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Now with all that said, I do want us to discuss the resurrection of Christ. I do want us to discuss Him rising again from the dead. But we're going to do things a bit differently this morning. I'm not going to be speaking to you. But rather Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will be speaking to you this morning. And so I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 27 to begin. And we're going to read the four synoptic gospel, the gospel accounts of this great day, of this day that changed human history forever, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 27. And friend, begin reading with me in verse 57. Now I will make some comments along the way, but I want you to listen, and really I want you to read along as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John speak to us this morning. Beginning in verse 57 of Matthew 27. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Now, one comment here. Notice that Joseph laid him in his own tomb. That's what's implied here. A tomb that had never been used. Now, in this day and time, tombs were reused and reused and reused. It would be opened, the bones would be moved from the place there of rest and be put over here to the side. It was still within the tomb, and then a new body would be put in. But here Joseph, a rich man, had hewn this out of rock, a tomb that had never been used, and placed Jesus within it. This was meant for himself later when he died. Now, friends, think about that for a moment. Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Christ, what did he know that Pilate just didn't get? What did he know that the leaders of the Jews just didn't understand, even though they had heard Jesus speak on this same thing? Joseph knew that when it was time for his body to be laid in that tomb, it would be empty already. There'd be no bones to put to the side because Jesus wouldn't need it before a short time. Now let's continue reading and see what it happens here. And Mary Magdalene was there and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now in chapter 28 comes that fateful day, that day that Jesus would rise again from the dead. We begin reading in verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.' Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure.'" Now why say that? Well, friends, a guard losing a prisoner, even a dead one, was a capital offense. A soldier losing a prisoner meant his own life, and so this was the soldiers taking this bribe. They took their lives into their own hands here. But notice that the chief priests and elders said that if it comes to the governor's ears, in other words, if it gets back to Pilate, that you allowed them to steal the body away, we'll take care of that. Don't worry about it. These folks were so hard-hearted and so hard-headed that even a risen Savior could not convince them to repent of the sin that they had done. Verse 15, so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And then Jesus being with his disciples, we read the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In other words, Matthew says, at the end there, so be it. Friends, in Matthew's recording of the resurrection of Christ, we see several things. But one thing that cannot be denied is that he indeed did rise from the dead. The soldiers themselves being witness to the stone being rolled back, and when they, of course, came to themselves, would have seen that Jesus was gone. And they went and reported it with their own mouths to those that had crucified him, and still they would not place their trust and belief in Jesus the Christ. Turn with me now to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And let's listen to Mark's viewpoint of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Now notice again, friends, that this is taking place when? Upon the first day of the week. Again, that's why we assemble upon the first day of the week. They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name will they cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, and he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Friends, why? If Jesus has not indeed risen from the dead, why would they go out and suffer the things they suffered in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why continue to preach in his name, by his authority, the things that they preached, if he was still laying in a tomb, rotting away? Friends, they would not. They would not. You wouldn't. I wouldn't. They wouldn't. But notice that when Jesus gave them, after his resurrection, the Great Commission, verse 20 says, they went out and preached everywhere. They did as the Lord commanded because he has indeed risen from the dead. Let's turn to Luke. Let's listen to Luke in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. At the end of chapter 23, again, you see Jesus being buried in Joseph's tomb. And Luke gives us a little more insight there as well. Luke shows us that this Joseph of Arimathea was actually a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a member of the council. But he did not consent to what was done to him. Now in chapter 24, Luke now tells us what happens in his description. He says, now on the first day of the week, again, notice the time and when this takes place. Upon the first day of the week when he is risen, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, they being from chapter 23, came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Notice here, friends, that they are reminded of the very words of Jesus himself. They are told they're told again exactly what Jesus had already told them, that he would rise again. Notice verse 8. And they remembered his words. Verse 9, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. The apostles believed this was just something the women had made up, some fantastic tale that they had concocted together. But Peter arose. Look what happens with Peter. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. He couldn't believe it. It seems that Peter was hoping against hope that what he was hearing was true, but he just couldn't bring himself to believe it. He was marveling to himself at this point. Verse 13, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And still they did not know who he was. Verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, and he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. You see, there was something familiar about the way the Lord prayed over their meals. It wasn't until this point when Jesus blessed the bread and broke it and gave it unto them that their eyes were opened. They recognized Him finally for the first time. In all of this that's happened, their eyes were opened. But He vanished from their sight, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? Here was a man that was teaching them just like the Lord had done, and so their heart, it says, burned within them. It saddened them all the more because they still felt that Christ was dead. So they rose up. Now listen, just a few verses ago it says that it was on toward evening. They had gotten to the place where they were going to stay for the night, but look at what happens here. When they realize who had been eating with them, who had been teaching them from the Scriptures, notice what they do. So they rose up, verse 33, that very hour. They decided that this news could not wait. It had to be told to Peter and the others. And returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how He was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, there it is, I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, He said to them, have you any food here? They're looking upon Jesus. They've handled Him. They've touched His hands. They've seen His feet. They can see that He is flesh and blood. And yet they are so amazed. They are marveling so much. They still cannot believe that this is someone, some man standing before them, that this is Jesus, the Christ, standing before them. And so to convince them, because spirits do not eat, He said, give me something to eat. So they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and He took it and ate in their presence. Finally, they're convinced. Then He said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Jesus had been with them 3.5 years, and still they did not understand. And finally, after He rose again the third day, it all clicks. Jesus opened their understanding, that they finally could understand what was going on. Then He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while He blessed them, that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Again, we see the facts, friends, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There can be no denying that He did indeed rise again from the dead. We've heard Matthew, we've heard Mark, we've heard Luke. Let's listen now to John, from John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. John says, now on the first day of the week, friends, all four gospel accounts tell us when Jesus rose from the dead. It was on Sunday. And that's very significant, friends, because, again, the Lord causes us and He demands of us that we worship Him when? Upon the first day of the week. And again, it's because Jesus rose from the dead. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him." Now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said to Him, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have laid Him, and I will take Him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to Him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher, or master. When He spoke her name, there was instant recognition. She realized who He was. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to Him, said, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things to her. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to Him, "We have seen the Lord." So He said to them, "Unless I see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and my hand into His side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then He said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to Him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Friends, those are the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John concerning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has indeed risen from the dead. That is the entire reason that we are gathered together today upon the first day of the week. And that is the reason that you and I, friend, can have hope that He is indeed risen. Now, friends, let me ask this. Why is it so important that Jesus rose from the dead? Friends, there are several things. We've been talking about one this entire morning, that it is the day that has been set aside, that we come together and worship our God and our Savior. But also think about baptism. In Romans chapter 3 through 6, Paul paints for us a picture of baptism. And he shows to us that Christ, in dying, he had to be buried, but then he rose again. Friends, and all of this is a picture of the act of baptism. Read with me Romans 6, 3 through 6. And see, friends, within this picture what Paul talks about, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christian. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Friends, it is through baptism, it is through that immersion in water that we come in contact with His blood. Now friends, if Christ just died and shed His blood there and He was buried, if we are baptized, then all we're doing, we're going to drown because we can't rise again. If Paul doesn't finish this picture. Right? Verse 4. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Why is the resurrection so important, friends? Because it has a picture in baptism in our salvation. Why is the resurrection so important? Because, friends, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then He never established His church either. Without the resurrection, there is no church. And without the church, friends, there is no safety. If there is no safety, friends, then all we have to look forward to is the devil's hell. And so, with that in mind, friends, think of this and understand it. Christianity is built upon the foundation of the resurrection of Christ. Listen to the words of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Paul has some very strong words concerning the resurrection of Christ. And listen carefully, friends. Read carefully what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." You see, friends, as Paul is going to continue here, and as we read, Paul includes within the gospel of Jesus Christ His resurrection from the dead. "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." All of that is included in the gospel of Christ. "And that He was seen by Cephas," Peter, "then by the 12. After that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." Paul says, Jesus appeared unto 500 people all at once. Now friends, you might be able to discredit 12 men, but you cannot discredit 500 different individuals that all saw the same thing all at one time. And he says some of them are still alive today as he's writing this. In other words, if you don't believe me, go and ask them. They can tell you that Jesus rose again from the dead. Verse 7, "After that He was seen by James, then again by all the apostles. Then last of all He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You see, friend, if Christ did not rise from the dead, our sins cannot be washed away. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable or miserable. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. You see, friends, Christ paid the ultimate price upon the cross for our redemption. And then that you and I might have hope, He rose again the third day. Dear friend, let there be no doubt that we indeed serve a risen Savior. And He deserves more of our attention than just upon Easter or Christmas. He deserves it every day of the week. But He has set aside the first day of every week that we may come together and worship Him. Let there be no doubt whatsoever that we indeed serve a risen Savior. And no other group upon this earth, no other religion upon this world can make that claim. You see, Muhammad is dead and buried, and his body has returned to dust. Buddha is dead. The gods of Hinduism were made by the hands of men. And any other prophet or so-called prophet or god that man may serve, friends, they are not alive and sitting on the right hand of God. We serve a risen Savior. One that has paid the ultimate price for our sins. We serve a Savior that has left an empty tomb. And friends, in leaving an empty tomb, the promise has been made that those who will follow Him will also rise again. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song, but we're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, we ought to be eternally grateful for God's scheme of redemption. What He has done for mankind in sending His Son, His only begotten Son, to this earth to live and to die upon the cross for the remission of our sins, friends. But all of that is naught if He did not rise again. Indeed, Paul said it best when he said, if in this life only we have hope, then we are of most men most pitiable. Or miserable. Of all men, rather. Friend, what do you believe this morning? Will you believe the Word of God? That Jesus Christ died upon the cross for the remission of your sins and rose again the third day so that you also, friend, could rise once more, having your sins washed away? Again, friends, I would call your attention to Romans chapter 6, where Paul paints for us that picture. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and also the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christian, so far as sin is concerned. You see, friend, if we believe what the Bible has to say concerning our Lord and our Savior, and we truly believe it with all our hearts, we can contact the blood of Christ today and be washed of our sins, burying the old man of sin and rising again a new creature. Friend, would you have your spiritual life resurrected this morning? Would you put Christ on in baptism? It may be that you're here, friend, and you have obeyed the gospel at some point in your past. But as you look into the perfect law of liberty, as James describes it, as you look into this mirror, you find, friends, you have not been living your life according to the words of Jesus Christ, who died and bled and rose again for you. Would you be His? Would you come home? Let us serve our risen Savior. If you are subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.